Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back for episode 184 of the Ross Bowlin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP 184, presented by Bowlin Media. I am your host, Ross Bowlin, here with me, also myself, and then there's I. Intern AJ went too hard at graduation, so I'm going to have to talk to myself all day. Ross, how are you today? I'm good, man. I'm good. Woke up a little down, a little disheveled, but things are looking up. As the hours have passed since my first waking, each one of them has improved, and now I'm psyched to be here. If you're new to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, almost every episode of our show is broken down into segments, which you can find below with time cues in the description. Now, if we have an episode that features a special guest like Arian Foster or Mia Khalifa or Bradley Jackson or Sean Pendergast or any number of people we've had on the show over the years or will have on the show in the future, that's going to be more conversational, less segmented. So, of course, there are exceptions to the rule, but you'll figure it out as you go, rookie. You do not have to have listened to any of the preceding 183 episodes of this show in order to enjoy this one. But if you like it, of course, I suggest that you go back and listen to them all. This is my job, sir or ma'am. Those episodes are there for you to consume whenever you want them. If you're traveling, you're on a vacation, maybe you got a long car ride or a road trip, maybe you just have a job that allows you to do kind of monotonous work and listen to podcasts in your spare time. RBP is there for you no matter the circumstances, especially if you're feeling alone or struggling with anxiety or mental health or whatever it may be. Throw the show on, man. That's what my voice is here for. That's the whole point of this thing, so that we can all feel a little bit less alone, right? Even though I am literally alone in this room. It's a scary thing. Stuck with your own thoughts. I'm just kidding. Here's a little personal anecdote from me. This actually is not a personal anecdote. It's just something I wanted to talk about that's not worthy of a full-blown segment, so I'm going to talk about it at the top of the show for all the non-skippers to say thank you for not skipping through the goddamn intro. Don't skip through the intro, people. Skip through a segment you're not interested in. If I'm talking about the wombat and you're a wombat hater, skip through it. Fine, wombat hater. I would ask that you rethink your position on wombats, but don't skip through the fucking intro. This is where I'm introducing what's going on today. What we're talking about. What, you know, there's something important about the front of the show, not only for our sponsors, but also for me and any guests we may have or any important announcements that may come. Anyway, Chris Rock. Like, you know, comedian Chris Rock, like, you're not supposed to go to jail, you stupid motherfucker. Like, that Chris Rock, the Chris Rock that's one of the most famous comedians, most famous stand-ups ever, largely considered to be top five in terms of stand-up by many, many, many people. I'll say this about Chris Rock as a stand-up comedian. I have gone through phases where I thought he was the funniest man alive. This is before I knew about Louis C.K. This is when I was younger. I thought Chris Rock was the funniest man alive, and I went through phases where I straight up couldn't stand him because so much of his material is racially charged, obviously. And we went through a point where like everything was racially charged in America. And man, it just got weird there for a little bit. It was like, you want to hear jokes about some different shit. There was a period. Where I was no longer really down with Chris Rock in terms of, like, if I'm picking somebody to go watch his stand-up, his new stuff wasn't really for me. That being said, I obviously know that Chris Rock is a comedic genius, and anything he puts out, I'm probably going to watch at some point or listen to at some point, and I respect the dude enormously. He's certainly up there in my top five, top ten, which is a really weird list now that we have so many different people either you know, dying. I guess if it's dead or alive, then I'm in a much better spot. But either dying or getting arrested or admitting to horrible things that they never should have done. Louis! Louis, cranking on women. What the fuck, dude? But Chris Rock, that Chris Rock is rebooting, you guessed it, the Saw franchise. You know, Saw, with the first one, you watched the guy from Liar Liar chop off his own leg and you were scarred for the rest of your life in theaters. That Saw, it's called Saw because he had a hacksaw and he sawed off his leg, you see. Fucking gross. Chris Rock is going to tackle that. I guess everybody's looking at Jordan Peele like, well, if he can do it. And now everybody wants into the horror genre. Once we got Krasinski doing A Quiet Place, it's like all hands on deck for who wants to do fucking intense horror or suspense. Chris Rock? Saw? I saw a dude on Twitter joking that they need to use the cast of Grown Ups so that we could so that we could see like Kevin James eat his I can't even say it. So we could see Kevin James eat his way out of situations. I'm not high, just for the record. Like, I'm dead sober. It's 10 a.m. and I'm alone in the room. Kevin James, dude, is such a funny fucking existence of a human. Like, did you ever watch Paul Blart, Mall Cop? That, you know what, that might be one of the movies I have to do at some point for a movie review, where, like, I don't know if it'll be on here or on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. I'm still trying to figure out how to divide my movie content between here and there, but because Oysters, Clams, and Cockles is going to become general entertainment beyond Game of Thrones, obviously. Holy shit, Paul Blart is bad. Holy shit. And I think it made like $100 million or something insane. I'm pretty sure they made a fucking sequel. I actually watched it on a bootleg DVD from this scumbag that I knew in college that sold bootleg DVDs. Who bootlegs Paul Blart, bro? That's next level sad. But I did. I watched it on a bootleg DVD. Shit, it was terrible. Anyway, Kevin James having to eat his way out of situations to survive, or like David Spade and Rob Schneider have to eat one of Kevin James's arms or something, and then they all die in a vat of acid anyway at the end. That's kind of what I'm thinking here. I can't wait to see what happens. I love Chris Rock. He doesn't exactly strike me as the dude to sink his teeth into Saw, but you never know. Jordan Peele never struck me as the dude to create all these badass thrillers that he's creating. Now, what it takes to be classified as horror is very generic at this point. Like, it's a thriller. He makes thrillers. I don't know if they're horror. Probably. But they're thrillers for sure. In other weird Hollywood news, apparently Robert Pattinson of Twilight fame has been picked as the new Batman. Robert Pattinson. What? What the fuck? How is this going to work? Anyway, it's just a matter of time before they close the deal, apparently. But he has been chosen, according to Variety or Vanity Fair or whatever. I don't know. It starts with a V, vagina. I've always suspected.
I can't search the web on Apple Watch.
This bitch. Did you hear that? Every once in a while, Siri will just interrupt me. I didn't say anything to you, woman. I didn't double tap you. I didn't ask any questions. I don't know that I've ever actually asked Siri a fucking question that she answered that was helpful. Hey, Siri. Why is Robert Pattinson the new Batman? Why don't you answer that question while you're at it? I've always suspected that these "we've made our choice, it's just a matter of closing the deal" situations that studios seem to find themselves in, I think they do that on purpose to judge public perception and then react accordingly. So like they're like, oh yeah, Robert Pattinson's totally the new Batman. And then when everybody's like, boo, fuck Robert Pattinson, then they can be like, and Robert Pattinson's out. You know what I mean? That seems like the loophole they found here. Anyway, saying "hold on tight, spider monkey" at any point, especially in a teen chick flick with werewolves and vampires, that automatically disqualifies you from ever playing The Dark Knight. Okay, millennial Batman is not what we need in 2019. I don't need Bruce Wayne that takes antidepressants and spends too much time on Instagram or whatever, like looking at like runway models. That's the life I'm living. I want to get taken out of it when I watch Batman, when I go to the movie theater. Come on. Robert Pattinson. That's not it. That is not. I'll repeat. Not it. RBP 184 is also brought to you by Lisa. Ah, refreshing drink of water. Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you. To Lisa, a bed is more than just a place to sleep. It's a place for relaxation and rest. My God, I could not agree with that more. In fact, I wrote this entire episode in bed this morning. In my Lisa. Ha! How about that shit? All Lisa products have been thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed and to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary you want to spend time in. My God, it's like these words were written by me almost, but they very seriously were not. Lisa's most advanced luxury hybrid mattress is made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. The hybrid is thoughtfully designed with the best of both worlds. This is the bed I have. The hybrid by Lisa. It's the best. It's the best in the world, in my opinion. The most comfortable mattress ever made. Perfect balance between support and comfort for me. Lisa also believes that all people should have access to deep rest and relaxation, and that's why they donate one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. To date, they've donated more than 33,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits made in the USA with in-home delivery and setup available. Financing is also available if you know it's time for better sleep and a better bed, but you don't want to pay for it all up front. You want to pay for it over time? That's great. You can do that. Don't miss out. Live healthier, live happier by resting deeper. Order today, RBP gang. Get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at lisa.com/RBP. That's LEESA.com/RBP. Promo code RBP. Also, keep in mind, you get a 100-night risk-free trial plus free shipping and returns. lisa.com/RBP. Use the promo code RBP. You can follow our show on Instagram. At the Ross Bolin Podcast. That's our handle on Instagram. Every day I fill up our Instagram story with photos and videos sent in by our listeners. The RBP gang is what they're known as. I collect those photos and videos through Snapchat at WR Bolin. Keep the snaps coming. I'll take the best ones every day and I'll throw them up on our Instagram story at the Ross Bolin Podcast. We are also on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod, where a lot of what goes out on Instagram is going to go out on Twitter as well. But we also have a lot more interaction with fans and communication back and forth with followers. Twitter is just a more as a platform that's more conducive to that type of behavior. If you're not on Twitter for the billionth time, it is the best social media platform, and I could not more highly recommend it. That being said, very addictive stuff. It's like the cocaine of social media to me. If you think Instagram is like weed, Twitter is like coke. It's like the next level of tweaking. We're also on Facebook, too, but Facebook sucks. Facebook is like the Kool-Aid of social media. If Twitter is cocaine and Instagram is weed for whatever reason, Facebook is Kool-Aid. It's just sugar. It's just bad for you. No offense, Kool-Aid. Also, cut the check, Kool-Aid, maybe? I don't know. It's just been a while since I said cut the check, so I felt like saying it. Announcements. We don't really have any. Patreon.com/Ross Bolin Podcast. We are up to 383 dues-paying members of the RBP gang. What the deal with the rest of you is, man, I don't know. But we're going to find out. Oh, we're going to find out soon. You know why? First ever exclusive and additional episode specifically and only for dues-paying members of the RBP gang on Patreon is being recorded later today. That one I will not be sitting here alone for. I'm not going to tell you who's going to be there, but it's not going to be just me. In fact, it's going to be a hotline call extravaganza, the likes of which you've never fucking seen. We're going to do a few calls on today's show to kind of give you a little taste for what a hotline call extravaganza might entail. But you've never heard anything like this. It's not your average hotline call show. I'm digging through for the weirdest, funniest, most disturbing shit. And it's all going to go in this episode on patreon.com/Ross Bolin Podcast. You're not going to be able to hear it anywhere else. It will not be available on your normal feed unless you are a dues-paying gang member. Here's the beauty of patreon.com/Ross Bolin Podcast. Once you become a dues-paying gang member, they provide you with an RSS link that you can plug into your Apple Podcasts or your Spotify or whatever the fuck. I don't know how it works anywhere else. I use the Apple Podcast one. And then the episode, when it drops, not only will it be available for you on patreon.com/Ross Bolin Podcast, it'll also go straight into your fucking Apple Podcast feed. Technology! It's amazing. It's fucking science. It's magic. It's all those things. technology, magic, and science that gets that RSS feed to work. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's an awesome platform. It's a very, very cool way to support the show, to support Bolin Media, to support me and everything that I'm trying to do, and to make sure that we get even more RBP. Like, we're still very much finding the balance of how all this is going to work going into the future, and obviously my whole job is to make sure that the show not only continues to grow and get bigger and better, but that also we are all to make sure we're always doing the best thing to keep y'all entertained. And I think Patreon is going to be a huge next step in this process, so I'm very excited about this first ever Patreon exclusive podcast episode of RBP, the first ever hotline call extravaganza that's going to drop. I haven't decided if I'll put it out today. Probably not, because we have this episode coming out today. But soon, very, very soon, maybe tomorrow, maybe Sunday, maybe I'll make it like a hangover tool for everybody who's just suffering this weekend and needs something else to listen to. Do you want to miss out on this thing? I don't fucking think so. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. No amends. I apologized yesterday to a buddy of mine whose wedding I missed a few years back when I was a drunken slob. And that was enough amends for the back half of a week. You know what I'm saying? I apologize through text message, by the way. That's my choice method of apology. So first segment, hotline calls. We're going to start today off with some hotline calls to get the blood flowing on this fine Friday. Also, because it's just me here, and we need to hear other voices on RBP 184 soon before I keep ranting and this thing goes off the rails and you disappear. Refreshing water. When there's nobody else in here to control what I say or like to keep me in check, it's a scary thing. I could say anything right now. Anything. Nobody would know but me. That's scary. 888-WR-BOLIN is our hotline number, of course. It is a voicemail. I need to re-record it. I don't even know what it says. I'll be honest with you. I think I recorded it one of the first days we ever did this show. I never listened to it. I don't even know what I said. It's been so long that it just became like this running joke to me to not know anything about the hotline. Yeah, I should probably go in there and check on that. Point is, you can call any time of day, any day of the week, any week of the year, it doesn't matter. It's a voicemail, all right? If you mess up, please, for the love of God, hang up and call back, or just press star or pound. I can't remember which one, but it lets you restart your voice message. And then on your next message, don't be like, hey, it's Bob again. I blew it the first time. Like, Bob. Nobody else but me heard your first call. When you start talking about your other call on your next call, and then that's the call I want to use, now I got to get my producer to spend 5 extra minutes going in and fucking editing out your bullshit sentence about how you called before, because nobody else knows or cares. Okay, so don't do that. 888-WR-BOLIN. Either crush it the first time or try again and don't mention your other call. If it takes you 8 tries, that's fine. It would blow your mind how many times some people call into this show. I picked out just a few little teasers, okay, little appetizies of some hotline calls for today to give you a little taste of what this hotline call extravaganza situation on Patreon that I'm recording later today may or may not be like. Here's the first call.
Hey, what's up, Ross, AJ, Micah? This is Shane from Buffalo. So I got a little trash or not trash question for you. So I fly a lot from work, and I recently had an early morning flight that I was not looking forward to. I was extremely tired from being up late the night before. Anyway, long story short, I get on this plane, very, very small plane, leaving Buffalo, very early in the morning, and we have assigned seats, and I sit down in the plane, and of course, I'm put next to the extremely, extremely overweight woman on the plane. And now, nothing against them or anything, but she was so big that her legs took up a good quarter to a half of my seat. So number one, should she have to pay for half of my ticket? And also, after that, while we were in the air, this lady took her shoes and socks off and had her disgusting feet out in the open while her thigh was rubbing up against mine. And this is, I was in a flight for business very early in the morning. This is bullshit. Should she pay for my ticket? And should they make big seats for bigger people? I don't know. Love the pod, gang, gang, gang. See ya.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot. That's a heavy, no pun intended, that's a heavy, heavy topic of conversation. Very large people on airplanes. Being a large person is It's a challenging thing. I've never been like an actual large person. I was Fat Ross, as we all know, for a good chunk of time there in like 2016, 2017, a little bit. But I don't have the build to be an actual fat person, right? Like, I'm too Stretch Armstrong-y. I'm a tall, gangly dude. Like, I'm built like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. I can't really get obese, right? Like, most of it just goes into my face. And then I just get really gross-shaped everywhere else. It's disgusting. The point is, I've never been a great big fat person, like a really truly great big fat person. And I feel for these people. It's a difficult situation, like, and it's a sensitive situation too. I mean, not all these people are, not all big people are big because they want to be, obviously. Now, for some people, it's a choice they're making, very clearly. For others, they have a condition, or they have, in some cases, it's mental health stuff that can lead to obesity and the inability to control your eating, or your how much weight you're gaining. And in some cases, it's a medical condition. So, I mean, you never really know, which makes it really, really difficult. And, I mean, really, the golden rule should be, like, never judge anyone else by their circumstances. But that's no fucking fun, is it? That's no fun. And it's impossible. It's very, very difficult to never make fun of other human beings or judge them in your head. Like, that's like 50% of the enjoyment I get out of life. So, while I'm saying, you know, don't judge people, don't make fun of them, don't be mean, at the same time, it's a lot easier said than done. I'm going to try to find some happy middle ground here in discussing this. First of all, you got to be sensitive to large people, because this sucks dick for them. You think this sucks for you? You think it's awful for you that her big fat thighs rubbing up against your little twig leg? What do you think she feels like, dude? You think she wants to be... You think she wants this noise being part of her fucking life? You think she wants every chair she's ever tried to sit in to be too small? Probably not, right? Odds are that this is fucking awful for her. The lady might need an extra seat. Jesus. In most cases, they make these people buy more than one. You'll see people in basketball games. I seen this dude courtside. I can't remember. It was a playoff game last year, I think. And he was huge. He was a big boy. And he had two seats courtside. They made the man purchase two fucking seats. And I don't blame him. Because there's one thing or the other has to happen. Either big people have to buy more than one seat, or we need bigger fucking seats. And this applies to, like, basketball games. It applies to baseball. All sporting events, really. Fuck that. All entertainment venues. I can't tell you how many theaters I've been to, whether it's to see, like, a stand-up act or to see a play. I'm 6'2". I'm not abnormally tall, right? Like, I'm a tall guy, but I'm not, like, a freak. I'm not, like, 6'6" or some shit. Like, everybody knows a tall guy who, when they walk into the room, everybody's like, oh, shit, look at this freak. I'm not one of those people. I'm regular 6'2", all right? Like, I'm just above average height. I don't know what my point was, and there's no one here to tell me what it was, because I just, like, every once in a while, I'll have a Men in Black mind moment, and then I just have to move on. But this is a demand a refund situation, 100%. Like, if you are on an airplane and a big person who should have had to purchase two seats, again, it's not about being mean, it's about being fair. And this is not your fault that this person is huge and has one seat that they're half spilling over into yours or whatever. That is not your fault. Now, while you must handle it with the most grace and dignity that you can, try to show a little class, it's not your fault. So that situation needs to be rectified if possible. And how? It's a demand a refund situation. You demand your money back after the fact. Tell them, listen, I understand that this is a complicated and sensitive situation, but you should have handled this woman and her seating in a way that didn't affect me, but it did. I want my fucking money back. And they're probably not going to give it to you. They're probably not going to. I can't believe she took her fucking socks off. This is where my defense of this woman ends. If you are already large, if you're already a big person, whether it's your fault or not, I don't know if it's a thyroid situation or you can't keep your fucking face out of the Cheeto bag, don't take your shoes off in public, ever, as a general rule. You're already enormous. Your feet are gross. Everybody's feet are gross. Your feet are a little grosser because they're a little fatter. Don't take your shoes off in public, ever. Not at a bowling alley, certainly not on an airplane. What are you doing? If you take your shoes off on an airplane and you are any weight and you are over the age of 12 years old, you should be tased by the air marshal and put down in storage with the luggage for the remainder of the flight. What is wrong with you taking your shoes off? We used to have a problem with this in the office. because we had this dude named Jared. You may have heard of him. Jared Borislow of Freeze All Motor Functions fame. That's our Westworld podcast that we do together that Jared actually took with him when he left Grand X, which is cool that we're going to be able to keep that alive. I don't know if I'll get to be a part of it. I hope so. Jared and I have started talking about it. It's just going to depend on my heavy workload. It's going to depend on my workload is the point. Jared routinely used to take his shoes off in the office, and Jared has gross feet. He would walk around and girls would yell at him and shit like, dude, put your shoes on. And we didn't really think this was that weird, honestly, because we worked in a startup environment, like lots of creative weirdos, and it just didn't strike me as that strange. I didn't realize this was so upsetting, so I started doing it too, like, especially because this was back before I really had figured out how addicted to shoes I wanted to be. And I would wear sandals a lot, and I would take my shoes off, and I have kind of hairy hobbit feet, you know? Yeah, you know. Imagine like you taking your fingers and you're just like stroking the hairs on the center of my foot. Like I've got long hobbit hair. I just threw up a little bit on my own microphone. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for that joke. That shouldn't have happened. It really shouldn't have. I could press a button and edit it out right now if I wanted to. But just know that I'm not going to though. Just know that I'm not going to. Keep your shoes on in public, no matter your weight. Your feet are gross to everyone except foot fetish guy. And even then, I think it's like, you know, some feet are hot, others are not. Like, not all feet look like Christina Applegate. That's just the first name that popped into my head. I hope that's an attractive actress. This really is going to be weird today. Next call.
Ross, AJ, this is John from Nashville. Longtime listener, short-time caller. Is it trash to keep your car going while you're pumping gas? Let me know. Peace.
All right, AJ. Is it trash to leave your car running while you pump gas? AJ? Oh, no AJ. Wow. Okay. No AJ here. We lost AJ. I'm going to have to answer this one myself, I guess. Look, people, it's these are courtesies that we need to be providing the other humans around us. Turn off your car. No, it's not illegal in all states. By law, in many places, you're not supposed to leave your engine on. I think in some places it doesn't matter, though. Louisiana, they don't have a lot of laws. But it technically does not, according to Quora anyway, make a fire more likely to leave your car running. Right? Like hot parts inside the engine don't just cool off automatically when the engine is turned off. And gas is not as easy to ignite as some would think. Right? Like spilt gas on the ground, like a spark doesn't just find it and send it. Like throw a lit cigarette onto gasoline that you've poured onto concrete. It has to be deep, that pour. The gas has to be deep enough to wick into the cigarette. If the gas is, I'm sorry, Mike, back me up about 15 seconds. If you pour a bunch of gasoline onto the concrete and then you drop a cigarette into that, a lit cigarette into that gasoline, if you've poured deep enough, it's just going to wick into the cigarette and put out the cigarette, right? Like you need a perfect little amount so that you can get some spark and fire into the gas. There's just the odds of this actually fucking killing you are low, but it's not about the odds. It's about common courtesy. And you don't need to be, you don't need your car running. If it makes it even 0.001% more likely that the gas station is going to explode, just turn your car off. You'll make us all feel a lot more better. This is like, you know those people in society who they just need to push buttons? They just need to get under your skin and constantly be driving some kind of negative reaction from everybody. Guy who leaves his car on while he pumps, or girl who leaves their car on while they pump gas, is one of those people. You're just doing it to annoy us. You're saving yourself a tenth of a second. Time is not that of the essence. Unless you're a fucking brain surgeon on your way to save a life, you don't have an excuse to leave your car on while you pump gas. Get off your cell phone, put out the cigarette, ground yourself on the piece of rubber next to the gas station pump, turn off your goddamn car, and pump the gasoline. Is that too much to ask? No, I don't think so. I found a Washington Post column from the year 2000 titled, "People Who Fuel Up With Engine Running Ignite Debate." So this isn't new. That's almost 20 years ago. this argument has been going hot and long for many, many years. This isn't even a column. This is like 50 letters written in by people who, I guess it's a sort of edit, like, you know, like an ask the editor situation. Whatever, you can go look at it yourself if you want. Don't leave your car running while you pump gas, you heathen. Next.
Hey, Ross, it's Cal from Birmingham. Hope you're doing well. Quick question today. Well, I know you don't drink anymore, but maybe it's for AJ too. What's your drink of choice at the beach, morning and afternoon? Yeah, I know you guys might have to switch it up, but love the podcast. Gang, gang, gang.
Oh, God. This is up there with the things I miss the most about drinking. It's like margaritas at Mexican restaurants. Boozing on beaches is definitely there. I think that's kind of it. Everything else was bad. Your go-to drink on the beach, man. It really depends on, like, the time of day for me, too. Obviously, no, I don't drink anymore. I'm over, like, a year and a half sober. This is no longer a situation where, for now, the answer for me, my favorite drink on the beach is water. Because it's hot as fuck out there, and my mouth is all dried out because I'm baked. But it used to be different, and it depended on what time of day, that it was. Like, morning, like, I've never been a huge mimosa guy, but if we're having brunch on vacation, like, I'm getting a mimosa. But morning drinks, I like those, like, fruity beach drinks in the morning, man. Like, mimosa surely would get the job done, but I'm not afraid to hit, like, a pina colada post 10 a.m. or whatever. Get something weird, you know? Maybe you're one of those people you need to wait till afternoon till you have a crazy sugar bomb drink or whatever. Like at night, for instance, I think beer was typically my go-to, at least when I was responsible. I was a huge fan of Pacifico as an example of a great beach beer. Love Pacifico. Huge fan. I think I've talked about this actually before, how my first legal drinking age trip over the age of 18 to the Cayman Islands when I drank like 300 Red Stripes in a week and I ruined them for myself forever. So technically, that was my go-to on the beach for a little bit. But I fucking love a good sugar bomb beach abomination, though. Like a classic pina colada or a psycho rum runner or like a four-foot-tall novelty plastic tube drink. Like, hit me, bitch. Let's black out. This is exactly why I can't drink anymore, though. Because the line is way too far. Like, the line that most people are like, I'm not going to cross this line. Mine is so far away. Like, my line is like killing a hooker 1,000 miles down the road. It's so far away. Everybody else's is like, now once I start slurring my words, I'm done. Mine's like, once I kill a hooker, then I'll stop drinking. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Mom. I know you listen to the show. Sometimes the jokes are going to be like, good Lord. But yeah, I drink water on the beach now. It's hot as shit. Hot as shit. Gotta have a big-ass tall glass of water. It's tough, man, water on the beach. You never have a good water bottle at the beach because you're in another country, typically, if you're me. I don't like the American beaches as much as the foreign ones. Yuppie scum. But you always gotta, like, run back up to your hotel room or into the lobby of the hotel or, like, to your condo or whatever. Like, fill up your bottle or your water bottle. I always get down to, like, the last few sips and savor them like it's the last glass of water I have and I'm stuck in the desert or something. Anyway, this was it for the hotline call section of today's episode. But, as I mentioned, we are recording later our first ever hotline call extravaganza that's going to drop on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. I have dug through hundreds and hundreds and thousands of absurd phone calls for the best and most outrageous. And then I'm likely going to come through stoned and respond to them later this afternoon. It's going to be glorious. Intern AJ will be here this afternoon. And it'll be available exclusively on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. I'll also be writing columns on there. If you don't give a shit about having the extra podcast, if you're like, you know what, Ross, I get enough of your voice. Fine. But do you want to read what I write? Because I'm writing again, and it's getting real and fun, and I'm going to be writing great shit to entertain you. Maybe it's that you need something to be able to read to entertain you in a place where listening is not an option. Perhaps you have a job where headphones aren't allowed or some shit. I don't know where you work. Like maybe there's a steel mill where there's no headphones allowed because you got to be able to hear the steel milling, you know? And then, but you're allowed to read because I don't, that wouldn't make any sense. But my point is, if you need written content, it's going to be there for you and it's going to be good. I promise you that. And it's only $1.99 to become a G3 affiliate, which gives you only access to the written content. $1.99 a month. Join the RBP gang for $5 a month and you're going to get the additional and exclusive podcasts, including the Hotline Extravaganza episode every month and a special guest episode of the podcast every month exclusively on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. And on top of that, of course, you'll get the written content that is also available to the G3 affiliate tier. And then, if you want to go nuts and contribute like crazy to what we're doing here at RBP and at Bolin Media, we have an OG tier just for you. Lots of people hit me up on the road to launching this company and said, I want a way to contribute more substantially. If you can find one when Patreon launches, we would appreciate it. Well, I did. It's a $100 minimum donation monthly, minimum pledge monthly to the OG tier. You get everything from the other tiers plus a handwritten thank you letter, probably illegible, but handwritten nonetheless from me. And first say on what happens with the future of not only our regularly scheduled programming, which, by the way, is still going to be available to everyone every single week, but also the future of our Patreon, our premium content offering as well. So if you want to be an OG, shouts, I love y'all. There's 100 cap on OG on the OG tier. I think we already have 11. So that's huge. I mean, we have 89 left. So we're 11 deep in the OG tier. 11 people are paying $100 or more per month. I cannot thank you enough, no matter which tier you join, for supporting the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hotline Call Extravaganza coming soon. RBP 184 is also brought to you by Liquid IV. Liquid IV is the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. Are you trying to drink more water? Well, Liquid IV hydrates you 2 to 3 times faster and more efficiently than water alone, with an added bonus of vitamin C, B3, B5, B6, and B12. Liquid IV is the fastest growing wellness brand. You can find them anywhere, even Costco. You can find their hydration multiplier sold at all Costco's nationwide, and all Liquid IV products utilize cellular transport technology, otherwise known as CTT, a specific ratio of glucose, pure cane sugar, sodium, which is mined salt, and potassium. When mixed with 16 ounces of water, this helps your body absorb more of the water and nutrients you drink directly into your bloodstream. It can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water, fueling tough workouts, helping prevent muscle fatigue, and promoting healthy post-workout recovery as well. Liquid IV is a very healthy alternative to traditional sugary sports drinks. No artificial flavors or preservatives. And with each purchase you make, Liquid IV donates one serving of hydration multiplier to someone in need, helping the rest of the world get hydrated as well, which is huge. I love Liquid IV. I know you will too. Anytime I start to feel myself even getting a twinge of sick, or like if my allergies are jacking with me, I'll crush a Liquid IV. Anytime I'm like, man, I just didn't get to drink that much water today because I spent an hour and a half talking to myself because AJ wasn't there and it was just me, then I'll crush a Liquid IV and I feel all better about everything in the world, right? RBP gang, you use my code and you're going to get 25% off. That's 1/4 at liquidiv.com. Use the code RBP, 25% off anything you order on Liquid IV's website. Just go to liquidiv.com. Enter my promo code RBP to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquidiv.com, promo code RBP. Don't wait. Don't do it. Don't you fucking wait. Start properly hydrating today. Next segment.
Grab your light. This is Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
It really never gets old. That the new theme song, that's just incredible. Today's Stuff the Wikipedia When You're High, shouts to Sam O'Hare, by the way, is Ernest Thompson Seton. Ernest Thompson Seton. Shouts to my boy Oscar for the tip here as well. Ernest was an author. He was a wildlife artist. He was the founder of the Woodcraft Indians in 1902, which actually was renamed Woodcraft League of America and is something that I am, or was, completely unfamiliar with. He's also, Ernest Thompson Seton is, this is what he's known for, one of the founding pioneers of the Boy Scouts of America in 1910. He's actually the man responsible for the appropriation and incorporation of what he believed to be American Indian elements into the traditions of the Boy Scouts of America, which is either cool or awful. I'm not sure which, and as such, I will not take a position. Seton was born in South Shields County, Durham, in England, which is it's now part of South Tyneside, Tyne and Wear, if anybody cares. I don't know what the fuck that means. I've never been to Europe. To Scottish parents, he was born, and his family immigrated to Canada in 1866. Most of his childhood was spent in Toronto. As a youth, our boy Ernest retreated to the woods of the Don River to draw and study animals as a way of avoiding his abusive father. And this is where he developed his connection with nature, with animals. He's in the woods, hiding from daddy. Sad, but also cool, because he took something shit and he made it into something arguably good anyway. If you can't do something good, at least do something arguably good. So to continue with Seton, on his 21st birthday, his father, the dick, you know, that he's abusive, that Seton is spending all his time hiding in the woods from. His father, on his 21st birthday, presents him with an invoice for all the expenses connected with his childhood and his youth, including the fee charged by the doctor who delivered him. Can you believe that shit, dude? He paid the bill, but he never spoke to his dad again. Dude, what? He paid the bill? My God. When I first was reading about Seton, I had this like moment of not clarity, like pure fear, sheer terrified, where I was like, if my parents presented me with a bill for all the costs I incurred them between the ages of 0 and probably, I guess in all fairness, let's say 22, holy hell, I don't know what would happen. I'd probably be like $17 million. I don't know what I would do. Thank you, Mom and Dad. And thank you, Dad, for not being like Seton's father, who was a dick. Thanks for not making me hide in the woods and draw. That would have sucked. This guy, Joseph Logan Thompson, was the name of his dad, right? And Seton called him the most selfish man I ever knew or heard of in history or in fiction. That's fucking intense. So he cuts ties with his dad, obviously, after being made to pay off that itemized list of all the expenses he had incurred. I can't believe he paid the delivery fee, too. $537.50 he paid his dad, apparently, in total. And then he changed his name to Ernest Thompson Seton, believing that Seton was an important family name. I guess he wanted to keep it. And he became successful as a writer. Oh, wait. No, was his dad's name not Seton? Yeah, okay, so his dad was Joseph Logan Thompson. He changed his name to Ernest Thompson Seton. Okay, so he's got some separation from his dad here. And then he becomes a successful writer, artist, and naturalist. And he moves to New York City to further his career. If you're going to write about nature, what better place to do it than in the hustle and bustle of New York City? Later, he lived at Windigol, which is an estate that he built in Coast Cobb, a section of Greenwich in Connecticut. He experienced some vandalism by the local youth in Greenwich. And Seton invited those local youth, the vandals, to his estate for a weekend, where he told them what he claimed were stories of the American Indians and of nature. So I guess what happens here? Our boy's house gets vandalized and he decides these kids need help. I'm going to try to give them something better, more productive and positive to do. He takes them in. He tells them stories about the American Indians, or what he thinks or claims are stories of the American Indians. Poor American Indians, man. What the fuck? And then of nature as well. So he forms the Woodcraft Indians in 1902, and he invites the local youth to join. And despite the name of the group, it was actually made up of non-native boys, obviously, and girls, which is problematic. And very much appropriation back then in 1902. Nobody gave a shit. If you did this now, you'd get fried. But the stories became a series of articles written for the Ladies' Home Journal. They were eventually collected in the Birch Bark Roll of the Woodcraft Indians in 1906. These are all the stories that Seton is writing. The Woodcraft Indians actually evolved into the Woodcraft Rangers so that it would be less offensive, I guess. Since 1922, the Woodcraft Rangers, founded by Seton, have served the Los Angeles, like as in LA, California, with Seton's model of character building, which encompasses service, truth, fortitude, and beauty. Today, the Woodcraft Rangers organization serves over 15,000 youth in Los Angeles County by helping them find pathways to purposeful lives. So there you go. There's some good. And it's difficult to judge white dudes in the early 1900s because they all were doing horrible racist appropriating. And I obviously, if I'm a Native American, this guy's probably not like a hero to me. I'm probably not a fan of this dude. He ripped bits and pieces of my culture and handed them to white children. But at the same time, he built organizations that really did help hundreds and thousands of children over the years to grow up in a more productive way. Boy Scouts of America, which I'm going to get to in a second. In fact, I'll just stop until then. They're teaching these kids. These are opportunities for youth from kindergartners to 12th grade in LA that are in the Woodcraft Rangers thing that are benefiting from this program. They're encouraged to ignite the discovery of natural talents and are embraced daily with the belief that all children are innately good. That's huge. So moving on from there, he's got the Woodcraft Rangers going. They're in Los Angeles. They're killing it. Next, he meets the founder of Scouting. This dude's name's Lord Baden Powell in 1906. Our boy BP had read Seton's book, The Birch Bark Role of the Woodcraft Indians, and he was intrigued by it. So they met, they share their ideas. Baden Powell, who founded the scouting movement worldwide, Seton became the president of the committee that founded the Boy Scouts of America and was its first and only chief scout. That is where our dude ends up, Seton. Ernest Thompson Seton, the first and only ever chief scout of the Boy Scouts of America, helped to found Boy Scouts of America. The position of chief scout was eventually removed, and the position of chief scout executive was what it was replaced with, and that was taken by James West. His Woodcraft Indians, by the way, that youth organization, combined with the early attempts at scouting from the YMCA and other organizations, and Daniel Carter Beard's Sons of Daniel Boone, that was the other organization, they all came together to form the Boy Scouts of America. So, in addition, there have been disputes about the content of Seton's contributions to the Boy Scout handbook. There was also a conflict related to his wife, Grace Gallatin Seton Thompson. She was involved in suffragette activities, as they were. And also, our boy Seton was a British citizen, which is an issue that arose partly because of his high position within the Boy Scouts of America. The federal charter they were attempting to obtain required board members to be United States citizens. So Seton ends up writing his resignation on January 29th, 1915. But he didn't send it into Boy Scouts of America until May, which is strange, months later. And then in 1931, many years later, he becomes a United States citizen. And that's that. In October of 2015, the Comedy Central show Drunk History gave a short drunk history lesson by Mike Still. It was actually season 3, episode 10. It was the second act where Seton was portrayed by Colin Hanks, son of Tom Hanks. Apparently, it mostly concentrated on the story of Lobo, which is one of the stories he wrote, but also mentions the roots of the Boy Scouts and helping out troubled teens. Can I just say, while we're here, Colin Hanks fucking sucks. That dude, whoo, terrible actor. No offense. Sorry, I know your dad's one of the greats, but you, sir, you need to find your own path. He was the worst character in Band of Brothers, by far. By far, not close. Also arguable that Orange County could have been a great movie if Colin Hanks wasn't the main character. It's still a good movie. It's still funny as shit. Incredible cast, minus Colin Hanks. And again, no offense, man. All due respect, you're terrible. In a 1993 issue of the Japanese manga, Diamond is Unbreakable, the character Hotaro Kujo references E.T. Seton's quote, "There is no animal that cannot be tracked." Hold up. I could have been calling him E.T. this entire time. Ernest Thompson Seton. Yep. E.T. Wow. That's cool. That is cool. I might name my firstborn son Ernest Thompson just so I can call him E.T. Anyway, there is no animal that cannot be tracked. Huge on tracking, this guy. AJ, did you do Boy Scouts? No? I was a Weebelo, which stands for We Be Loyal Scouts, which is very lame. Scouts was weird as shit. It was weird. All the patches and the uniforms were weird. Why were they khaki? Barrett was actually an Eagle Scout, one of my best friends, Barrett, that I do Oysters, Clams, and Cockles with, which really tells you something. Because if I'm picking a person to be lost in the wilderness with, Barrett, no offense, you're not on that fucking list, much less close to the top. You're not on the list at all. And I sure as shit don't make anybody's list, so I'm not even trying to knock that. We know each other very well, me and Barrett. Neither one of us is the dude you're taking into the forest to survive. We're also not the dude you're going to ask about what that sound your car is making is, or like to hang a picture frame or mount a television for you. That's not us. Us, Ross. It's an S. Us. RBP 174 is also brought to you by ExpressVPN. Admit it. You think cybercrime is something that happens to other people. You hear about these hackers and these passwords and these leaks, and you don't bat an eye. You don't think it's going to happen to you. You don't think anybody wants your data or that they can't grab your passwords or your credit card essentials. And guess what? You are dead ass wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is actually one of the easiest, simplest, cheapest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connected and unencrypted, like at a coffee shop or whatever, you might as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see. That's why I decided to take action, to protect myself from cyber criminals. I got too much important shit on these computers, so I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, or tablet. You turn it on, it takes one click, and then you can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having your personal data stolen for less than $7 a month, RBP gang. You can get the same ExpressVPN protection that I myself have. ExpressVPN is the rated number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Ross Bolin. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ross Bolin for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ross Bolin to learn more today. Next segment. $2 billion weed killer verdict. I saw this story and I was like, man, I got to talk about this. I got to share it. Here from CNN. Of the thousands of cancer patients suing Monsanto, claiming its popular weed killer Roundup gave them cancer, only three cases have gone to trial. And all three juries have sided with the patients, including a California jury that just awarded a couple $2.055 billion in damages. But Monday's massive verdict isn't just the biggest against Monsanto so far. It's also the largest award of any personal injury case this year, and the eighth largest in U.S. history. According to Carl Tobias, a law professor at the University of Richmond, the verdict includes more than $55 million in compensatory damages for Alva Pilliod and his wife Alberta Pilliod, interesting names. The couple, both in their 70s, started using Roundup in the 1970s. Alva now has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in his bones, including his spine, his attorney said. And Alberta suffers from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma brain cancer. But that $55 million pales in comparison to the $2 billion the jury awarded the couple in punitive damages to punish Monsanto. Monsanto is the company that owns weed killer the popular weed killer Roundup. You're familiar with Roundup. You've seen it. You may have even used it, which is a little freaky. I'm actually watching Chernobyl right now. And it's about the massive nuclear reactor meltdown at Chernobyl in 1986. It's like a four-part HBO miniseries or whatever. We're going to be talking more about that on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles if you're interested. The first week of June will be the finale of Chernobyl, and then we're going to break down the whole thing on OCC. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point is, just being reminded of the way that cancer works and how some of these chemicals work, and how there's literally shit in the air, in the water, in our food that infiltrates our bodies and then spreads. That is pretty terrifying. It feels like everything gives you cancer, man. Everything. And then plus the things that actually do, you know, like that are just blatant, like smoking cigs or whatever. Like, fuck, it's brutal. Anyway, more from CNN. Shortly after the verdict. So this is the reason it's insane, right? This story is crazy. Is because that is an absolutely, like, I can't even wrap my head around a $2 billion sum of money in damages being awarded to a couple because of the cancer that they now suffer from. $2 billion. Like, can you even imagine the butterfly effect of that? What that looks like down the line, you know, 100 years from now? How that jury will have impacted the world? Seriously, think about that. Think about how much money that is going into that family, or how, I mean, it won't end up being the full $2 billion, obviously, but that's generational, life-changing wealth for generations of humans, and then it just depends what they do with it, whether they use it for good or evil, basically. I mean, you know what I mean. It's not all that simple. There's a gray area, but it just, that's fascinating to me to think about. The economic impact, the historical impact of things like this down the line, it's crazy. Anyway, the parent company of Monsanto, which is called Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R, has said they are going to appeal. They have long insisted that glyphosate, the key ingredient in Roundup, doesn't cause cancer. And it cited the Environmental Protection Agency's recent announcement that glyphosate isn't carcinogenic. They said, quote, "We have great sympathy for Mr. and Mrs. Pilliod, but the evidence in this case was clear that both have long histories of illnesses known to be substantial risk factors for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma," Bayer said in a statement. So while the verdict is under appeal, the Pilliods won't be getting the money awarded to them. And it's extremely likely that a judge will actually slash that $2 billion to a much lower amount, according to Tobias Funke. Not Funke. It's not Funke. There are dozens of us. Dozens. That's what happened to Dwayne Johnson. Not that Dwayne. Not Dwayne Johnson. It's Dwayne. This is not The Rock. Anyway, he's the first person who got cancer and took Monsanto to trial over Roundup, and a jury awarded the former school groundskeeper, obviously groundskeeping, you're using Roundup, $289 million. A judge then reduced that amount to $78 million a few months later. But Johnson still hasn't seen that money because his case is also under appeal. Jesus. Tobias said he expects the Pilliod's $2 billion award to get severed as well because the Supreme Court has issued guidance that, quote, punitive damages usually should not exceed 10 times the compensatory damages. So, you know, if you only end up having to spend $1,000 on medical bills, and then you're asking for $500 billion in damages, like, that's not realistic. They're really only going to, they're supposed to give you only 10 times the amount of compensatory damages. This is exactly why I don't do my own landscaping. It really is. I do, however, do my own manscaping. RBP 184 is brought to you by Manscaped. We've all hit a patch in our lives, whether it's because of a dry spell or just laziness or who knows, where the downstairs mix-up can get a little out of control. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with some hair down there, but a bush is something that belongs in Fortnite or your yard, not on your body. And in some cases, I think for dudes, we just straight up don't know what product to use to clean ourselves up. And as a result, we get gross. Like, my whole deal for me personally was that I would retire my old electric face hair razor. Whatever I was using, the electric razor I was using for my face, when the time came, I would retire it and make it my body hair tool. Well, that's not what it's used, made for. That's not its purpose. So you get nicks and cuts and snags, and it doesn't work well, and it's awful. And that's when Manscaped came into my life and turned everything around with their incredible Lawnmower 2.0. Their entire product line at Manscaped was created specifically for a man's distinctive grooming needs below the waist. And their products are formulated specifically to cleanse, moisturize, and deodorize your smelly balls. They also offer tools engineered to give every gentleman a close, refined appearance and empower men by providing the right tools for the right job. Their complete manscaping system includes the Lawnmower 2.0, which, as I mentioned, is unbelievable. That's what the name of their razor is. It's electric. It's a rechargeable, waterproof trimmer with skin-safe technology for a nick-free trim. It's great. To learn more about it and all their other products and their revolutionary product line, go to manscaped.com today. Use the promo code RBP and you'll get 20% off your entire order. Manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D. Use the code RBP. You'll get 20% off and your balls will thank you. Bumblebee Tuna. Now it's time for some very important announcements. First of all, thank you all for sticking with me today while I was rolling solo dolo. It's a little different, but it had been too long since I'd sat here and talked to myself for over an hour. It needed to happen, and I'll be honest, I feel a little more mentally clear as a result of having done it. Again, patreon.com/RossBolin Podcast, where later today I'm very excited to be recording our first ever hotline call extravaganza, which is going to get incredibly weird. We're going through and finding the most outrageous, weird, funny calls, and we're going to be playing them all on an episode of this podcast, the Ross Bolin Podcast, but that episode is only going to be available to dues-paying gang members on patreon.com/RossBolin Podcast. Now, if you're a G3 affiliate, or if you're thinking to yourself, listen, man, I don't need any more podcasts, but I would like to read what you write, that's fine. There's a tier for that. You can become a G3 affiliate. It's $1.99 or more per month. It's up to you. $1.99 is the minimum pledge. You pledge $1.99 or more as part of your subscription, and you're going to get our premium editorial subscription. That's where you're going to get columns and articles written by New York Times bestselling author Ross Bolin. That's me. Maybe your ears can't handle premium podcasting. Fine. This is the tier for you. Become a G3 affiliate. It's $1.99. You support the show. You're technically paying your dues. You're not quite gang, but you're affiliated, and that's better than nothing. If you need, if you want, if you're smart, and you know what's good for you and how good these shows are going to be, the podcasts, the additional and exclusive podcasts just for dues-paying gang members, then you're going to want to join the RBP gang tier. That's $5 minimum pledge or more per month. This is your premium content subscription where you're going to receive two additional and exclusive ad-free episodes of the Ross Bolin Podcast per month, one hotline call extravaganza episode, one episode featuring a different special guest each time. On top of that, you get access to all the editorial content available only on Patreon, including but not limited to long-winded rants, mailbag-style question-answering articles, columns delving deeper into things that I've discussed on the podcast with prevalent links included, of course, and morning coffee thoughts. Minimum of one editorial piece of content per week comes with your subscription, and on top of all that, you'll receive first dibs on our new line of merch when it drops, the RBP merch line. Odds are, in fact, that if you're not a dues-paying member of the RBP gang on Patreon, you're not going to have a shot at the first couple batches of merch because we're going to make them small and limited. And then, of course, there is the final $100 or more per month tier. It's called the OG tier. This is for people who have hit me up asking for a more substantial way to contribute to RBP or Bolin Media. $100 is the minimum monthly contribution. If your bankroll allows for $300 monthly, bring it the fuck on. If it allows you to drop $1,000, let's fucking ride. I will take it. I will use it to grow the gang. And of course, for all tiers, after your initial pledge on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, you can always change your monthly contribution or cancel at any time. Okay. OGs, as I mentioned at the top of the show, your input's going to be the first considered when weighing future content options for both the podcast and the Patreon. We're going to have private polls and comment sections that only the OGs have access to as well to help us decide how to best manage this beast. And membership is capped at 100 to reward our most motivated and active supporters on the OG tier. Okay. And again, you get all the benefits of the lower tiers, plus a handwritten and probably illegible letter from me to thank you for showing your support. Patreon.com/RossBolin Podcast is where you go today. Pick your tier, either become a G3 affiliate or join the RBP gang officially or become an OG and become a leader of the RBP gang. Go today. You're going to get great audio content, podcast episodes not available anywhere else. You're going to get, this is where I'm writing. This is where everything I write is going to go. Right there, patreon.com/RossBolin Podcast. Unless it's about Game of Thrones or OCC related, this is where it's going to go. I'm probably going to go home later this afternoon and write a column. It's probably going to happen. If not today, then I have to tomorrow. That's the deal. So go sign up, patreon.com/RossBolin Podcast. Patreon is a great platform that allows creators like me to connect with our fan base, our listeners, our readers, our followers, like you, and cut out the middleman. There's nobody else. It's just us and Patreon and you, and we're all hanging out, and there's no advertising involved or anything like that. It's just a simple way for me to provide you more RBP and for you to provide me with more money in exchange. That's how it works. That's it. It's very simple. Patreon.com/Ross Boland Podcast. If you've enjoyed the Ross Boland Podcast and you have never rated and reviewed this show on Apple Podcasts, I would ask that you do so this week. We've had a really big week, huge week, really couple weeks, actually, with the growth of this show as a result of more people finding out about oysters, clams, and cockles and learning who I am and then wanting to find out what my personal podcast is like. We've had a huge week, and I want it to be even bigger. So if you've never rated and reviewed, this is the week. You know you're legally obligated. You have two legal obligations as a result of having listened to this podcast, the first of which is to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Technically, you are illegally violating the terms and conditions of our listener podcaster agreement as stated by the Supreme Court. No, there isn't actually. None of that really exists. But you are legally obligated, allegedly, to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Just give us 5 stars, write 2 or 3 sentences about why you love the show. I know you listen on Spotify in some cases, SoundCloud, wherever you listen is cool with me, but if you rate and review, please do so on Apple Podcasts. It is the largest platform still, the one where the exposure is the most important to us, and the more of you who rate and review, the more exposure we get, and the more likely it is that we can continue to grow and do bigger and better things in the future. So that's your first legal obligation. Please take care of it. Number two. You must tell one friend, one family member, one coworker, one neighbor, one living, breathing individual human being who has the ability to enjoy podcasts. Tell them about this show, the Ross Boland Podcast. Tell them what we talk about here. And if you're like, what do we talk about here? How do I explain this? Well, I understand that that can be complicated. History, animals, mental health, pirates, current events, substance abuse, technology, serial killers, music, and more, all mixed with laughs. If that doesn't get their attention, then the show isn't for them, and that's cool. I know it's not for everybody, but that's just an easy way for you to break down for any family member, friend, coworker, neighbor, anybody who you think, man, this person might like RBP. Just tell them about the show. Send them a link. Maybe you know they're a Spotify person. Send them a link to your favorite episode ever on Spotify. Also, follow the show on Instagram at the Ross Boland Podcast. We're on Twitter at Ross Boland Pod, and we're allegedly on Facebook somewhere too. Nobody knows where, and nobody really cares. You can follow me, your host, Ross Boland, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WRBOLEN on all three, at WRBoland. And that will do it for RBP 184. Recorded and produced by Mike Moody and Grant Davis at Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We will be back next week on Tuesday with episode 185, RBP 185, coming Tuesday. As I mentioned, very, very likely our first ever Patreon.com/Ross Boland Podcast episode becomes available only to dues-paying gang members on Patreon.com/Ross Boland Podcast between now and then. Gang, 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 peace be with you and also with you.
Ross Boland Podcast.